Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Monday, this the 11th day in January of 2021. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, as always, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to start your week. And we're going to start in a very sensitive area, pun intended. There is now source code out for a malware that researchers had found and developed that targets something called the Cui Cellmate device. Now, the Cui Cellmate device may sound obscure. It is actually a male chastity device. It encompasses genitalia, prohibiting, obviously, sexual interaction. And the issue isn't about how that operates, rather that it was vulnerable and that malware could lock the device, which means you couldn't take the device off, meaning it was permanent, and you could be ransomed. In other words, criminals could demand that you pay them, or the device would never come off, short of cutting it off, apparently, of your male genitalia. And that is obviously alarming, and it does highlight a really important issue that when we connect our devices to the internet or to our mobile phones over Bluetooth, as in this case, we are incorporating a level of risk that we may not fully understand. So again, in this case, there was a ransomware family that was over Bluetooth targeting the Cui Cellmate chastity devices. The good news is that malware has its source code available, which means that researchers hopefully can reverse engineer it to ensure that users of the Cui Cellmate don't find themselves in a bind. We're going to move on, we're going to move off of chastity, and we're going to move to something called Team TNT. Team TNT owns and operates, it's a criminal acronym, a botnet. Now, a botnet is just a huge number of computers globally that are leveraged for malicious or criminal activities. And Team TNT's botnet has been updated, and that is alarming for a lot of people because it is now stealing both Docker API and AWS credentials. Now, that might sound like alphabet soup to some, so let's break it down. Docker is a container or a way in which images of a variety of different applications and programs can exist in a container to be studied, operated, manipulated, tested without really impacting too much. And they have tons of computing resources, so they can do this in a, quote, safe environment. But the API, or the application programming interface, is the way that that image, which can contain lots of applications on it, can communicate with other services. So sometimes when you're running a test, you need to send and receive information. You use an API to do it. Now, on the AWS, that stands for Amazon Web Services, which is essentially just a huge computer in the cloud for users at the dumbed down level. I know it's more complicated than that. But both of these elements, Docker and AWS, have huge amounts of computing resources, and Team TNT now looks for credentials for both of these when it looks to compromise a system. And that's alarming because what the Team TNT botnet does is deploy or attempt to deploy a cryptocurrency mining tool. And now we talked about how Docker and AWS both have a lot of computing power because of what they do. Well, criminals want that computing power to solve super complex mathematical equations that support cryptocurrency, which is sort of the way that a bank ledgers are reviewed or audited, but for an open source currency. Now, cryptocurrency is not traded by banks as of yet, although there are some minor exceptions, and it looks like we may be moving towards a world where cryptocurrency is accepted. But for now, cryptocurrency is not traded or accepted at banks, so there's only really two ways to do it. Buy it at an exchange, in other words, exchange your real money for fake money, and it does have value. It has a lot of value, particularly Bitcoin, but it isn't necessarily real money, as we like to believe it to be in terms of going to a bank. And the second way you can get cryptocurrency is by mining it, supporting the system with those advanced complicated mathematical formulas behind it, and by giving your computing resources to this system, you're rewarded with tiny fragments of that currency. So if you wanted to get Bitcoin, you loan out your computer and energy to support the system, and in exchange, you get essentially a finder's fee. Now, what's interesting here is that the Team TNT botnet looks for credentials in both these services so that the criminals can gain lots of Monero cryptocurrency, not using their resources, by using yours. And the newest Team TNT botnet has been noted in Docker containers that have been downloaded at least 2,000 times. So that's 2,000 potential victims. And so if you're a criminal trying to mine not using your own resources, this is one way to do it. So if you operate in the Docker or AWS space, just know that Team TNT is looking for your username and passwords. And sometimes cyber criminals target banks, but they're not after money. They're not trying to steal your computing resources. They're trying to steal your sensitive data. And that's what appears to have happened in New Zealand. The New Zealand Central Bank, or the Reserve Bank, had reported that they had some data stolen. They reassured customers, however, that it wasn't the bank that was targeted or hacked. It was a service that they use. And that service, they didn't actually come out and say it, but in the report, it references a very specific application they use to transfer files. We call this FTP or FTA, File Transfer Protocol or File Transfer Access. And the firm that does this for them is called Accelion. Now, Accelion is a California-based company that services a wide variety of customers, including the United States Senate, banks globally, and their presence in the financial market make them being a compromisable target very lucrative for cyber criminals. Now, the data that they transfer tends to be very sensitive in nature, and that is what the New Zealand Bank is saying happened. That they had confidential data, they didn't disclose obviously what that data was because it's confidential, and that that data was stolen by attackers who are unknown at this time, who compromised the Accelion service. Now, the point here is that, much like SolarWinds, criminals are increasingly using third-party applications to go after their intentional targets. This is for two reasons. Number one, harder to trace who did it. Number two, it doesn't really help you determine if you were specifically a victim or, as is being reported in this case, accidental, because anyone who uses that particular Accelion service could be, quote, compromised. So it's unclear if criminals have access to a huge number of systems and they just chose one at random, if they chose one on purpose, or if knowing they wanted to target Central Bank of New Zealand, they targeted a specific service. It makes it very difficult to decipher the motivations behind who's doing this. And when you can't determine who's doing it, you have a very difficult time determining why they did it. And that hampers your investigation. And it doesn't help in any way law enforcement tracking down these people and gaining evidence to prosecute them. So it's very complicated, difficult. We expect these types of attacks to continue. And in the short term, if you use Accelion or their product Kiteworks, which is their FTA service, you should be looking at whether or not you have had abnormal traffic, and you may consider getting with your rep to make sure that if there's a flaw, you are protected. We're going to finish today not in a New Zealand bank or in the Amazon Web Services, but with the President of the United States. Last week, we talked about how users were being phished with a, quote, sex scandal video involving the president. And this time, we're going to talk about the president in terms of free speech. Now, a lot of times, free speech is something that's brought up in the United States. And I'm aware that there are countries where free speech is not a real thing. So this is not coming from a US-centric view. But as the internet looks globally, the implication of being able to share and access data and stories and anecdotes and research and education is super critical. And there was a year ago, it hasn't really been brought up much lately, about data sovereignty on the internet. In other words, ISPs cannot control which bits are more important than other bits. There is this idea that all data is treated equal on the internet. Well, there's that cross-section between politics, and that's where the president comes in. There has been a lot of scrutiny about how social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, Telegram, you name it, how they are responsible, if at all, for the content that their users are pushing. And by and large, Twitter and Facebook have deactivated accounts when there is a clear and present danger. And they've worked with law enforcement where applicable to help prosecute people within the confines of the law of whatever country those individuals and or the agreement or privacy laws governing the company at that time are. Well, in an interesting twist, Twitter suspended the account of the President of the United States. Now, this is because, quote, after a close review of recent tweets from, and this is the account of Donald Trump, the President of the United States, his account, and the context around those tweets, specifically how they, those tweets, are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, we, Twitter, have permanently suspended the account, the President's account, due to the risk of further incitement of violence. Now, what they're talking about incitement of violence is the belief that the United States President, because of the nature of his posts, actually supported a group of individuals who stormed the United States Capitol last week, invading Senate and Congress, invading offices, and basically conducting what is illegal activity. Now, this was done under the guise of a, quote, peaceful protest outside of the building. Obviously, that situation escalated. But here we can see that social media platforms are going to increasingly be scrutinized and have to take action based on, quote, how tweets are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter. So as you engage people in social media, just understand that how they receive and interpret your message could determine whether or not you're able to use the social media platform. And that may or may not be a good policy, but that is where we are in the world today. In some places, that may be easier than others based on the laws, but this is all being done presumably in the name of your safety. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a most fantastic Monday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on Tuesday. Stay strong, stay safe, and stay healthy, and we will see you then. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a professor, Professor Rangakrishnan, who is 64, is receiving the Medal of the President's Science and Technology Awards in Singapore for his outstanding contribution to the field of medicine, specifically COVID-19 and other infectious diseases. Now, the President's Science and Technology Award is the highest form of recognition that a scientist or engineer can get. And so this is a super great award and recognition for the professor whose work has helped save millions. So for your dedication to your craft and field and for heartfelt, well-deserved recognition, a sincere tip of the cap.